Hello, everyone. Welcome to In the Neighborhood with your hosts, Tim Johnson and Stacy Borho. Tim is a realtor with REMAX Acclaimed, and Stacy is a mortgage lender with First State Bank of Illinois. Together, they are finding out what makes the heart of the Heartland beat. They sit down with people in your community that lead organizations, businesses, and government. You'll learn who they are, what they're involved in, and why. These are the people in your neighborhood. It's In the Neighborhood with Tim Johnson and Stacy Borho.
Happy New Year, Tim.
Happy New Year.
I'm excited to have my friend Dina Imser here with me today to help us out about goal setting since it's the new year, and I'm sure a handful of people are out there with some new goals and some new ideas of what 2016 is going to look like for them. So, Dina, how do we start off with that?
What a great question, Stacy. And I hope there's more than a handful of people out there with that are thinking about goals and really dreaming up what they want in the new year, 2016. I was talking to Tim a little bit in preparation for this call, and he mentioned the word resolution, which is a word we love to hate in the new year, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what the statistics indicate, you know, we take about a week to really play with our New Year's resolutions, and then that's the end of that.
It's one of those things we plan to fail.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
This resolution, not going to make that happen anyways, but we'll try. We'll try.
We don't even really give it our best shot.
No.
But I was interested. I've been thinking about that word, resolution. And, you know, when you think about it, it means to resolve something we've probably tried to solve in the past with maybe limited success. So I came today prepared to talk about a new way to think about challenges, goals, problems that we may have tried to solve in the past.
Sounds awesome.
I think it will be.
Now, my goal for 2016 is to not use the word try, because there is no try. It's I will.
There is only do. What show is that from the cartoon? There is only do.
It's true, though. When we say, I will try to do that, there's not a lot of commitment as soon as that word try ends up being in the sentence. So, okay. So, number one, eliminate the word try.
That's right.
Okay. So, it's interesting, isn't it? It's like thinking about how can I take an obstacle out of my path that's not really serving me very well.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to start by saying I think it's important when you have a resolution, a challenge, a goal, to make sure, number one, that it's your challenge and not someone else's. So it could be that you have a goal around making someone else change rather than looking at what you might do yourself. So that would be the first thing I would suggest, is just to own the goal. Make sure it's not about somebody else or that it's not someone else's goal for you.
Mm. Something to think about.
It seems a little on the obvious order, but, you know, I'm kind of in the goal business, and it's interesting to me how often people have some negative thinking or limited thinking or impossible thinking around goals.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, when you have people in your life that say, I wish you would do this or
exactly,
I wish you would do that, so
exactly,
then all of a sudden, like you're saying,
you take it on.
Yeah.
And you don't even want it.
No.
To start with, there's no positive energy around it for you. So that's the first step. Own it. Make sure it's yours. The second step is really think about what it would mean to you if you met this goal.
Mm-hmm.
So you mentioned avoiding the word try. So think about how would your life be different? Like, what's the benefit you anticipate having around that small goal?
Mm-hmm. Well, taking out that word try, then I'm committing to it, right? It's taking out the option of backing out.
Okay.
It's I will do this.
Okay.
Whether it be for me walking my dogs on a daily basis, because I know in my mindset if I say I try, then I've got to back out. I told myself already that it's okay if I don't.
Yep.
But if I say I will, then I have accountability.
Okay. So if you had accountability and you knew you were going to be more committed, then I would ask you to take the next step. And you may not want to do this on live radio, but to at some point take the next step and say, so if I were more committed in my life, what else would be the benefit?
Big changes.
Yeah. So it sort of is like the domino effect in a way. If you really look at that question of how do I stand to benefit from actually taking myself seriously and committing to this goal and seeing it through, what aspects of my life might change mm-hmm. as a result. Mm-hmm. So, and that part actually gives me a few goosebumps on my left arm, because that part is sort of where the juice lives. That's the inspiration mm-hmm. and the vision.
If you're living in that doing rather than trying, you're going to be saying no a little bit more.
It's possible. Yeah. Because you're only going to want to say yes to the things that you genuinely are willing to do and to commit to. So for many people, that's a huge step, is just really saying no more often, saying yes only to the things that you're truly committed to do.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So once you've done those steps, you've imagined the big goal, it belongs to you. You've imagined, how will my life be different? Then you really go to, okay, what are the small steps that I need to take in order to get there? And really flesh out some sort of a structure for how you're going to do that. And then not only do you need that plan, but you also need to a way to track your progress.
Mm-hmm.
So number goals, people love, they talk about SMART goals all the time. They love things that are associated with numbers. But not everything lends itself to numbers very easily.
True.
Yours doesn't, for example. Although you could track the number of times that you notice yourself wanting to say try. So
sure.
There would be some ways that you could track that. But I often talk to people about, What do you notice in your body is the difference? Or what's the small thing? You know, often it's weight loss.
Mm-hmm.
So notice, you know, your clothes fitting a little bit more loosely, or anytime you had a little bit more energy, less winded at the top of the stairs. So those incremental shifts are also important to pay attention to. Because
mm-hmm.
quite frankly, if you can't track your progress, your chances of sticking with it are not very high, in my opinion, in my professional opinion, since mm-hmm. I work with a lot of people who have goals that they haven't been able to meet on their own.
Right. And it's the baby steps, because sometimes, too, we make such extravagant goals and then we don't meet them because they're overwhelming, and then we get intimidated and crawl back into our shell.
Exactly. So chunking it down literally so that mm-hmm. we've got some smaller places to notice mm-hmm. Success is really a helpful idea as well.
Absolutely. I love the picturing, because just picturing what that would look like to meet those goals already brings a smile to my face. Mm-hmm. And that joy that you feel is priceless mm-hmm. to where if it's something that you're really passionate about and you're not doing it, the sadness that kind of comes in mm-hmm. is a feeling that you don't really want. So if you look at it that way, then sometimes that's my motivator, is I love feeling joy. Mm-hmm. And the other part I don't like, so how can we get there, and what does it look like when I travel down that path?
Exactly. And I think you hit on something really important, and that is, what kind of energy does this goal generate mm-hmm. for me? If you can stay in the positive, joyful, encouraged part, again, your odds of being successful are much, much higher. So maybe another thing to look at would be, when I get discouraged, how will I know that it's time to reach out for help, and where is my support?
True.
So often, you know, we kind of try to tackle things on our own. It's our good Midwestern upbringing, right? We've got to pull ourselves up by our bootstraps and do it alone. And the truth is, if you can seek some kind of support, either in a friend or your mom or a group that's mm-hmm. aligned to kind of help you meet that goal, chances are, again, you know, when you get discouraged, you'll go to your support rather than to ditch the whole effort.
Absolutely. So like sharing your goals so you have accountability partners, and maybe even communicating that with that person, saying, you know, I really can see myself doing this year. Can you help me? Will you check in with me? Will you be my accountability partner? Mm-hmm. And doing that for someone, which would also feel good because you're helping someone, or that person will feel good about helping you.
Absolutely. And Stacy, I know that you are such a helper. You have passion around helping people. Obviously, you and Tim both do, or you wouldn't be doing this program.
Mm-hmm.
I suggest, actually, too, that you, if you own the goal, you be the one to say to your partner or your accountability person, here's what I'm going to be aware of. Here's the time when I know I'm going to need you, and here's how I will reach out to you. So to take on as much of the responsibility yourself for owning, again, your process.
Okay.
Because what I notice sometimes is that we hook a friend in or something, and then we sort of shift the responsibility for success, or it's possible that we might, to our friend, rather than owning it ourselves. So make sure that the thing you're asking your accountability partner to do is not your job.
Mm-hmm. We are good at blaming other people, aren't we?
We shift, I think. We just sort of subtly shift that responsibility away.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm. So keeping ownership.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's great, again, to invite other people in, obviously. We get a story sometimes that I'm in this alone. You know, I have to do it by myself. And that's not real encouraging.
Mm-mm.
So.
I'll take it a slight different direction here real quick. But how do we be a good accountability partner?
Okay. So I think that's a great question, Tim. And again, we don't have much training in this regard, right?
Right.
So a good accountability partner might be to ask, okay, what is the big goal? Tell me a little bit about your process. And then how do you perceive I can be helpful?
Mm-hmm.
But again, turn that question back to the person with the goal rather than, number one, assuming you know what they need or assuming that, you know, you take on sort of the girdle of responsibility around your own shoulders. So keep it clean, mm-hmm. that relationship.
Mm-hmm.
But have you ever had anybody ask you that? I mean, it seems rare to me that an accountability partner would be, you know, forward-thinking enough to just be able to say, you know, tell me about what you're doing and tell me about how you picture me being helpful.
Mm-hmm.
But wouldn't it be great to know that up front before you say yes or I'll try?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you never know what that looks like for that person,
if
right?
You don't ask them, you
and
don't.
And maybe there's a further conversation that needs to be had to make sure it's something you guys are both willing and able to do.
Yeah, and what a great help for the person with the goal, you know, to have the accountability partner say, tell me about it,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah.
What do you vision? Is it just one more time when you say you're going to get, you know, you're going to reduce your debt in 2016 and you
sure.
have real no idea about a plan for doing that?
Mm-hmm.
So.
Negative reinforcement, positive reinforcement for that person? You know, like they're trying to lose weight and you're trying to help them and they're putting that donut in their mouth. What do you say? You know, how do you approach that? I mean,
I am all about encouragement, Tim. So actually, negative reinforcement is something that I never even think about.
Okay.
And positive reinforcement to me has a little bit of a negative connotation, too, because it sort of connotes something that's empty praise or empty calories like a donut.
Okay.
So I want to keep my friend or my colleague in an encouraging space where I absolutely believe they can do this and that I am there to help them see what they've done that's been successful. So I've been reading about the executive function of the brain lately, and I'll make this short. But if we want to get the executive function or the good reasoning, sort of that action part of the brain involved, there are three things that make it easier. And the first one we've already talked about, you have to have a clear goal. Once your brain has a clear goal, it makes a beeline towards it. It's just sort of a natural inclination that we have. The second piece is, what are we going to do to avoid any distraction that could come in and throw me off track with my goal? So talking about that a little bit about, you know, what's a distraction or what's something that could get in your way? That's not negative. It's realistic to think, okay, now I need a plan to avoid that.
Mm-hmm.
And the third piece is active memory. So this is the piece where, rather than to be discouraging to your friend, you know, you've just eaten a donut, would be to help your friend remember times that they've been successful. So what strategy did you do the last time there were donuts at the party? You know, what strategy did you use at the last holiday? That kind of thing. Because that tends to connect the neurons to those pathways that have been successful. And we want those pathways to widen and widen like a superhighway. Mm-hmm. Instead of those pathways that are towards the negative habits that don't get us towards our goal.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, oh, that's pretty interesting. And it seems like pretty doable. So that would be the kind of encouraging information I would tend to give my person that I'm helping would be, tell me about the last time you were successful. What was the strategy you used?
Mm-hmm. So it's always asking questions.
Well,
is what I'm gathering.
Is. Yeah.
I've been learning that in many aspects of my life, because it's about building the relationships and understanding why, because we're all so incredibly different.
Mm-hmm.
What works for one person won't work for another. But just learning how and why and getting people to picture what it's going to look like, again, is so, like, what will that look like when I am set with my schedule? You know, because if it's not on your calendar, then it's probably not going to happen.
Right.
So literally scheduling out and doing time management with your life and your priorities and getting that in line and making them exist. And then asking the questions of, if I do this, what will that look like? And then going back, because if it's something that you love, that picture of what it's going to look like, or that energy comes in and it's positive, then you're going to be excited to put it on your calendar.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if it's not, then maybe it's something that we need to get rid of. It's a no thing, possibly, if it's not something that gives us that positive vibe and
that
we should move forward in.
Yeah. And what I know from just doing as much strength training as I've done, not strength body training, but your innate strengths, I work with clients on that a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of the multiplier is, if you can play to your strengths 75% of the time, 25% of the time, try not to worry about it too much. So 25% of the time, we all have stuff, time management-wise, that we don't want to do. Like,
that's
how
true.
Thrilled are you to get to your inbox and see 80 messages there and that you need to reply to? But, or accounting for me, it's like, I don't like to do my accounting. I put it off.
Sure.
So it's part of that 25% basket.
Okay.
So watching that,
mm-hmm.
So if I can be passionate or I'm committed, like, to things that really excite me on my calendar 75% of the time, and don't worry too much about the 25%.
Sure.
However, I want to highlight what you said. Really look at that thing and see, is it something I need to do? Does it play to my strengths? Or do I know of someone on my team
that
would much better handle this and actually like it?
Absolutely. Because we all have our different specialties.
Exactly.
And we're all different for a reason, so that we can all work together.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We can't do it alone.
No. No.
So is cold turkey a good way to go, or stepping your toe in the water a good way to go?
You know, I have found that there are two different kinds of personalities. There are people who absolutely can take on a goal and they get single-minded about it. So the cold turkey approach is best for them. And then I know of other people who are like, if you told them they had to do it cold turkey, they would just be like turning around and walking out the door immediately. So it sort of goes back to Stacy's idea that we're all different.
Mm-hmm.
We need to find the strategy that works the best for us. And that takes some time and thinking, which some of us don't want to do.
Mm-hmm.
This reflection piece is huge.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's really, really important for success.
Yeah, reflection and the negative thoughts, you know, that go through our brains, especially when we think about our goals. I mean, something in our brain's telling us, you can't do it, you're not good enough. So the terminology that I use for it is my drunk monkey.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It's the monkey sitting on my shoulder who's blowing his mouth off,
yeah.
Doesn't have anything nice to say, and sometimes we just need to remove him.
Yeah.
Well, actually, always, but when he's there, to recognize it as something negative,
mm-hmm.
something that's not ours,
yeah.
And something that we need to remove, because really it's those negative thoughts that get us off track. It's the doubting and anything along that line. So if we can take that thought, toss it in the garbage, and replace it with something more positive, you know, that's when we get to see the change, and that's when we obligate ourselves because of that positive feeling.
I heard a quote lately, and I would love to attribute it, but I have no idea where I read it or heard it, that worry is a prayer in reverse.
Mm.
And it's been super helpful to me. So anytime I'm worried about something or I hear that negative voice,
sure.
I try to stop it in the moment and flip it so that I'm thinking about what I want rather than what I don't want.
Sure.
And it's been sort of a new habit that
mm-hmm.
I can actually do a lot of the time. I'm catching myself faster.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I love the idea of, you know, rather than worry about it, what would be your prayer or your hope?
Sure.
And then begin to focus on that.
Yeah, or the outcome.
Exactly.
Again,
yeah.
Asking ourselves those questions.
Mm-hmm.
Is this thought true?
Mm-hmm.
And where did it come from?
Exactly.
And where does it belong?
Yep. File it. In the appropriate place.
That's right. Absolutely.
How can we encourage ourselves when we're going through the process? If you miss your goal and you're not quite meeting it, how can we get back on track?
I think, again, to really take stock of where you are, what you've done, again, that's been successful. And if you can identify what got you off track. What was the distraction that came in, right? What was the monkey mind place that you went that's not very helpful? Then you can decide, am I satisfied with the progress I've made? Because actually, sometimes we set goals that are so big, It may actually be that you're satisfied with where you are. So it's probably just taking time to take stock. Stop. Think about what you've done and where you are and how you're feeling. If you still feel like there's more, you can recalibrate the plan and start again. Mm-hmm. So it really is just a process. So rather than to think of it as a failure, to me it's just sort of an ongoing part. And the other thing I've learned, Tim, from experience is that some problems or challenges don't stay solved. So we solve them for a while, and then before you know it, there we are again. So just looking at the many, many, many ways there are to solve a problem and make progress, to me, is more hopeful than calling myself, you know, a failure or being negative with myself about my lack of progress.
So remove the word failure. Because we're going to have those no matter what.
Yeah.
And really, it's about getting back up and getting back on and doing what it is that we're supposed to be doing. Maybe that's not our challenge. Maybe we failed or we learned something different about ourselves from that challenge that we took on. But not to look at it as a failure, but to look at it as a learning lesson about ourselves and who we are and where we need to go.
And I bet of all the people you interview, they would all say they've learned more from their setbacks than they have their successes. So
absolutely.
Really, if you're looking for the learning, you can feel like a failure in a moment or that you failed to meet a particular thing at a particular time. Mm-hmm. But there's bound to be a huge learning if you take time to stop and think about it.
Yeah. So turn the word failure into this is the lesson that I learned today.
Yep.
And here's where I'm going from there.
Yep.
That reminds me of that story about the GM employee that cost the company, I think, $1 billion or something along that line, went into his boss and handed him his resignation, and he said, I just paid $1 billion for your education. Why would I let go of that? So I thought that was pretty good.
Talk about a reframe, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Good one, Tim.
All righty.
I didn't know where you were going with that.
Yeah, right.
I'm pretty interested.
Well, I know I'm excited for 2016.
Are you?
Mm-hmm. Me too.
Yeah.
Always. Always an opportunity for a fresh start.
That's right.
Looks like a great year coming. Thanks. We spent our time with Dina Emser. Had a great time. Thank you.
Thank you, Tim. Thanks, Stacey.
Thank you for listening to In the Neighborhood with Tim Johnson and Stacey Borjo. You can listen to this show and previous shows at PeoriaLife.com. See our schedule and leave questions for future guests. That's PeoriaLife.com. Join us next time to find out what's going on as Tim and Stacey talk to those who are making it happen in the neighborhood.